Let's talk about a struggle many of us know all too well, losing weight. Remember those days when everyone was on a juice cleanse or just basically hangry all the time? That was no fun for anyone. Well, there's a better, more sustainable way to shed those pounds. Today, I want to introduce you to Robody. It's not your typical weight loss program. Instead of all the gimmicks, they offer access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. But here's the real deal. They pair these shots with simple lifestyle changes, helping you lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Plus, over 200,000 people have already seen results with Robody. So what sets Robody apart? The support. They handle all the insurance stuff for you and give you access to a provider whenever you need them. And the best part, you can sign up online from home, no doctor's appointments and no waiting rooms. Say goodbye to those days of hangry juice cleanses. With Robody, losing weight is straightforward and sustainable. Take that first step today and say hello to a healthier, happier you. Kickstart your weight loss journey the right way and head to ro.co/IDO. That's ro.co/IDO. Sign up today for just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Remember, medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/IDO. Hey, Love Tribe. Today's episode is brought to you by one of my personal favorites, Cozy Earth. They've got something special for all the mothers out there. So anyone who wants to shower the special woman in their lives with love and the comfort they deserve, listen up. Hands down, Cozy Earth has the best sheets, bedding, pajama sets, and more. So today, I'm excited to share that Relationship Advice listeners get an exclusive 35% off discount. Simply go to cozyearth.com and use the promo code I do at checkout. The first time I tried their bamboo sheets, I was blown away. The comfort level is insane. I just love slipping into their seriously soft and cool sheets after a long day. And for a mom who knows that the struggle of sleep deprivation is real, Cozy Earth's temperature regulating technology has been a lifesaver. No more waking up sweating or freezing. But what really sold me is the quality of the bamboo sheets. They are by far the most comfortable sheets I have ever slept in. They are made to last years, which they have. I think at this point I have about 6 sets of them. And they have a 100-night sleep-free trial and a 10-year warranty. So you know you're getting something that is going to stick around. So if you're ready to prioritize your sleep health and treat yourself or the mom in your life to the luxury she deserves, head on over to cozyearth.com and use the promo code IDO for an exclusive 35% off. Because every mom deserves a good night's sleep, and with Cozy Earth, you can finally get the rest you need.
What's going on?
Welcome to I Do Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
To all of you subscribers and longtime listeners, thank you for being here. If you've never heard the show, you are in the right place if you're looking to improve your relationship, whether you're single, married, or dating. We interview the world's leading experts, therapists, counselors, psychologists about how to improve your relationship. And we have a wide range of topics. And today is just another one of those that we're all going to face, whether or not we've had it before or you're going to have it in the future, and that is jealousy. And we talk to Dr. Suzanne Deggs White. It's actually her second time on the show. And Dr. Suzanne is a professor and chair of the Department of Counseling, Adult and Higher Education at Northern Illinois University. And she also performs academic research, which explores transitions and development over the lifespan with a strong focus on intimate family relationships and friendships. So definitely someone who is knowledgeable. The last show we had her on, we talked about how Netflix can improve your relationship.
Yes. Yes. So if you want an excuse to go on a Netflix binge, check out episode 94 with Suzanne, and we talk all about it.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't need an excuse. You just get sucked in. But yeah, that was a good one. And today, when we talk about jealousy, she gives us some tools that will apply to the whole relationship, whether or not you feel like jealousy is a problem with yourself or with your partner. But certainly, if jealousy is an issue, you have come to the right episode. But if not, what Sarah and I really liked, because I don't think jealousy is too much of an issue at all. Sarah's shaking her head no. Which is good. So, but that is striking when the iron is cold.
Yes, totally. Yeah. And we shared in there how that tool alone is going to really help Chase and I, just because it makes so much of a difference.
Tell them what that means.
Well, striking when it's cold is basically not addressing an issue that you're having with your partner or attacking or blaming your partner in the middle of what you are trying, when they're doing something that you're trying to correct. So basically waiting until what you want to talk to them about until they're not doing it anymore.
Yeah. Or like, don't bring up an issue when they're walking out the door to go to work or something like that. And yeah, it's simple, but really valuable tip. And Suzanne gives us a lot more in today's episode.
Before we continue on to our episode today, we have an announcement, and that's that we are doing a retreat in Hood River, Oregon this summer.
Yeah, Hood River is an amazing spot, and there is no better way to improve your relationship than trying new things together. And Hood River is the perfect place to do this. It's in the Columbia River Gorge. It's a national scenic byway. It is stunning. We've spent about 5 summers there. I always go there for stand-up paddle racing, and we will be doing a lot of fun activities with you guys. There's whitewater rafting. We'll be doing stand-up paddleboarding, waterfall hikes, wine tasting in the vineyards there, and there's orchards, and it's absolutely beautiful. You have Mount Hood, which is almost an 11,000-foot mountain that's covered in snow in the middle of summer, and it's just a beautiful place, and we want to share it with you guys. And we will also be doing relationship strengthening exercises each day, so you're going to be doing all these new things, which is always good for your relationship, and also doing deliberate practice in your communication and a lot of other things that will be led by a professional therapist. So we are looking forward to sharing this exciting time with you guys.
Yeah, the retreat is going to be held on July 28th through August 2nd in Hood River, Oregon, like we said. And you can find out more information on the retreat on our website at idopodcast.com. You can go up at the top of the website and you'll see where it says retreats, and you'll find all the information, even more details than what we said. And of course, if you have any questions, send them our way.
Yeah, and you can also check the show notes for that link. And we had a lot of inquiries for our Costa Rica retreat, but we didn't really give enough time leading up to it for international travel. People were trying to get their passports sorted, and we definitely are going to put Costa Rica on the agenda for 2019. But for this year, we thought it'd be a lot easier for you guys. You fly into Portland. It's super easy to get to, and it's kind of like it's not a well-known place, I feel like, because I didn't really know about Hood River too much, but it is like this hidden gem. It's not too hidden. A fair amount of people in the Pacific Northwest know about it, but it is stunning. You'll see the pictures on our website, and you'll see why it's such a special place. And yeah, we'd be excited to have you guys there and share it with you. So we hope you guys enjoyed today's show. And again, check out idopodcast.com or the show notes for information on the Hood River Couples Retreat. And we will definitely be talking about it more in the future.
Enjoy the show. Hi, Suzanne. Thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, Suzanne, we've given our listeners a little overview, told them about your work in helping people improve their relationships. So why don't you take a minute, tell us about yourself and why you enjoy what you do.
Okay, I'm currently a professor and department chair of a counselor education program. And what I enjoy most about the work I do is I love to talk to people about their relationships, their lives. I love to be able to help people find the answers they're seeking to problems that have them stumped. And it's really great to see so many people willing to make a change in their lives to make their lives better, which also enhances their relationships. So it's kind of fun to watch the way things grow, kind of like the ripple effect.
Yeah, it is a great thing to work on the most important things in our lives, and that is the relationship with ourselves and with others. So it is it's an honor to have people like you on and be able to share this valuable information for ourselves and for our listeners. And today's topic is one that I'm sure at some point everyone has encountered in their lives, and that is that of jealousy. And we're going to talk about emotional and sexual jealousy. And when I think of jealousy, I think of it as being primarily a more of an adolescent and an immature reaction. But I think we're all maybe a little bit prone to it, but maybe we're able to work through it as we grow older and more confident in ourselves and in our relationships. So why don't we just jump right in, talk about jealousy and how it's manifesting in relationships today.
We know jealousy is one of those primal instincts. When we think about sibling rivalry, when we think about wanting to acquire things, jealousy is all about feeling like we need to get our fair share. I think we all know that the world is full of limited resources, and we all want to make sure that we're able to take care of ourselves and take care of those people we care about. But when it comes to relationships, we do feel jealousy because it's very important to both genders. There's different kinds of jealousy, different kinds of ones that really drive us, that we think our partner is giving us, and our partner that we may not be giving them what they deserve. So that's when jealousy springs up, when we're fearful that someone else is getting the attention or the time that we feel we deserve in a relationship. Emotional jealousy is kind of that jealousy you feel when you imagine someone getting close to someone and deepening a friendship. When we think about kind of that, there's a joke about the office wife, that your partner, if they have someone at work who kind of feels that need of making sure that they've got their ducks in a row at work, just like you think a spouse would do at home. General joke about office wife. But when you worry getting too close and too emotionally involved with someone else, that's when that sense of emotional jealousy springs up. We feel like someone's getting the attention, the conversation, the kindness that we're used to getting exclusively from our partner. Sexual jealousy is more about when we think that our partner is sexually interested in someone else, where it's not so much the emotional connection, but that they might be having an affair, they might be engaged in online activities, getting a little too close for comfort with other people. And that's when that sense of sexual jealousy comes up, when you're afraid your partner may be unfaithful, infidelity in that kind of truest sense. But emotional jealousy is when someone's getting that attention that you feel should be reserved for you.
Now, we're going to unpack a lot here. And I think I want to ask you to start, how common is this, are you finding in the people you work with? Is this something that a lot of people are facing in adult relationships?
Well, I think the advent of the internet, the World Wide Web, has caused a lot of issues to kind of bubble up that once before we didn't have to worry about. Before, if your partner was getting, had friends at work, you didn't think much about it because their energy and time and their interaction was really not at home, not in your social world, but reserved for work. So you kind of didn't know, and you were glad they felt, connected with people at work. Unfortunately, the internet and cell phones allow us to kind of keep in touch with people outside of the hours that maybe we should be connecting with other people. If you think about the man or the woman who maybe is at one of their Little League games and texting with someone that's not related to the family, not their spouse, that can cause a sense of jealousy to flare up. So I think the more available and connected we are to other people through electronic means, the more the opportunity for a sense of jealousy to spring up between people. And it is that the idea of online affairs, that was something that didn't exist, you know, 3 decades ago, 2 decades ago, very widely. But now you hear about a lot of emotional infidelity because of people using electronic means of communication to connect with people that aren't their spouses. And whether it's an actual sexual relationship that takes place, there is sometimes that sense of emotional disconnection between a person and their partner because they're turning to someone else. They might think they're helping someone get through something difficult. They might be, you know, filling somebody a need for someone else. And technology allows people to get closer to other potential romantic interests in ways that are not as physically intrusive as we think of the typical cheating partner might be. So is it more common? I think it is more common, but it's a different form of sense of jealousy springing up.
Sometimes I feel like jealousy gets a bad rap. So at what point is jealousy bad for the relationship, or jealousy is just a concern of the relationship?
Well, you know, jealousy does get a bad rap because it does have a strong negative connotation, because we think if someone's jealous that maybe they don't have a right to be jealous. That jealous is, you know, it's like anger. You know, these are words, we don't want to be mad, but we may be concerned. We don't want to be jealous, but maybe we should be concerned. And there are times when you do kind of have to think about, is this appropriate behavior for me to be responding to this other person emotionally when I'm sitting here with my own family? It's when what often happens with emotional connections is they do get deeper faster. There's that sense of distance you kind of feel because you're typing into a cell phone or you're typing into a computer, whatever that might be. But we find ourselves going deeper and revealing more about ourselves when we can do it through kind of that distance invoking way through through touch screens or through cell phones. So it's kind of like when you're in an elevator with strangers, if you get stuck, you might share a lot more about yourself than you would with a good friend and do it quickly because you're in this confined space. You don't know what's going to happen. It's kind of, and you feel like, I'll never see these people again. So there's a sense of distance I'll feel. The same thing with texting and with emails. You might share more because you've got that sense of distance and you don't have to be intimately with a person face to face, revealing parts of yourself. And so in a way, when you do spend more time texting people other than the person you're sitting with, it is a way of being unfaithful to the relationship if it's something you're doing to deepen a relationship with someone who is not your partner. So sometimes it is very legitimate to feel concerned if a partner is spending more time, is devoting more family time externally than to the people that person is around. Is it jealousy or is it concern about the relationship? And there is kind of a fine line. You don't want your partner to be jealous, but you do feel they have a right to be, you know, communicate to you about the relationship you have with that person.
Technology and social media is certainly changing the social dynamics of relationships with our partners, with our friends. It's really, I don't think we even fully know the impact or can understand what it's doing, because it's such a new thing for the human species. And in some ways it's great, but I think it can be extremely detrimental. And you know, if you ever go out to dinner, I guarantee go out to dinner tonight, you look around, there will be a significant portion of people sitting at a table with each other and looking at a phone and not interacting. So we talk about it a lot on this podcast because I think it's an important issue for humanity in general, but certainly on the level of the relationship. So going to this jealousy, it doesn't even have to be the opposite sex that you're talking to through text or communicating with. You can just be spending this emotional capital on social media and not with your partner. So it's just really important to be aware of that.
I agree, Chase. It's extremely important because if you think, you know, I think all of us, even those of us who weren't, you know, 12 when cell phones came out, it's amazing how quickly each generation took to the idea of texting and you connecting email. It really was kind of a natural evolution for people of all ages. And now they have, you know, as each new technology comes out, it's more responsive to that particular age group. But it spans generations, and a lot of us enjoy the idea that we can connect with people with short little texts or, you know, even emails fallen by the wayside now. Usually it's text, Instagram, Snapchat, all these other quick modes of communication. And in a way, we can think, wow, our social connections have really grown, but we're forgetting that we need to concentrate on those people who are with us on a daily basis, making sure that, you know, that our life, you know, bumps along quite happily. But when we are spending more time, you know, connected to a cell phone, eyes on that little screen, it does erode the relationship with the people around us. And I think it's not just, like I said, it used to be, oh, it's young people, but it's not young people. It's young people. People, midlife people, older adult people, all of us are finding, you know, kind of enjoy that idea that we're able to stay connected. But in staying connected electronically to people who aren't there, if we've got people sitting in the room with us, we really need to reprioritize where we're investing our energy. Relationships are difficult to maintain. You know, relationship without a sense of trust and commitment and connection, romantic relationships can truly crumble. And if we're spending more time building relationships with other friends, supporting coworkers, we may, you know, look around and realize that we've really done a lot of detrimental harm to our primary relationships.
So if I'm a partner who's feeling jealous, if I'm feeling whether it's sexual or emotional jealousy that my partner, and let's just take what's probably the widest example right now is of that online interaction. How can I bring it up in the relationship so that it can be addressed and dealt with in a positive way?
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors.
When I heard that RX Bar was sponsoring the podcast, I was very excited because I'm pretty much obsessed with these things. I was looking for bars, I think it was last year, and I found RX Bars, the chocolate with sea salt. That's my favorite. And I absolutely love them. And almost most importantly, they're made with 100% whole ingredients, and they have protein in them because we try to eat healthy, and they don't have fillers, additives, chemicals, or added sugar. So not only do they taste great, but they don't have all of that bad stuff that you find in other bars.
All the junk.
All the junk.
And they just came out with a kids version. So RX Bar Kids and our daughter, which... our daughter Stella, she's two. She loves eating yours. And so she's going to be super excited to be able to have her own bars now. And they come in three flavors, which I know you're going to love because you're a chocolate lover. But they have chocolate chip, apple, cinnamon raisin, and berry blast. And they're great for any occasion, especially for us when we're going to the beach. We just throw a bar into the stroller and we're ready to go.
Yeah, I'm not sharing my bars with Stella anymore. She can't have them. She's got to eat her RX Bars Kids now.
Yes. Yeah, so you can get RX Bars at Target stores, or you can go online to their website and get 25% off your first order. And their website is rxbar.com/I do. And if you enter the promo code I do, you can get that 25% off. That's rxbar.com/I do. Today's episode is also brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/IDpodcast. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from, including our recommended book, Love Lands, by psychotherapist and previous guest on our show, Dr. Deborah Campbell. Chase and I are both in the middle of reading the book, and it's pretty amazing. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/IDopodcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/IDopodcast to get your free audiobook of Love Lands.
Well, probably the most important thing with any particular issue is to strike when the iron is cold. Sometimes if something's, you know, sometimes you want to hit your partner with information, like right when you see it happening. But when you do that, you're putting them on the defensive right away because they're engaged. If they're picking up their phone to text someone, you say, hey, put your phone down. If they really need to connect with this person, it may turn into a fight really quickly, an argument. You're putting them on the defensive. But if you're, I think it's really important for couples to kind of have connection time each week where they can kind of check in. I think having, either an evening where you dine together, at work, you have your weekly group meetings or team meetings to think of your relationship as, a team and, kind of have a team meeting monthly, weekly, whatever works for you to kind of connect and say, here are some of the things that I'm at fault for. Here are things maybe that I'm reacting too strongly to. Kind of, own your feelings and find a way to kind of talk about how it feels for you coming from a place of prioritization and a place of needing, that you're connected to your partner and you still want to know that they're connected to you. And mentioning your needs in a way that doesn't come across as being too needy is also important because sometimes the harder someone says, the more needy someone becomes, sometimes our reaction is try to back off, to distance ourselves because some of us don't want to feel responsible for our partner's happiness. And we shouldn't expect a partner to be fully responsible for our happiness, but we do have a right to have a partner, commit to making our relationship and their partner a priority. So having a conversation about it where it's not going to create a fight is really important, especially when someone's about to contact someone, whatever it might be. That's just, you're setting it up for you're dooming the discussion before it ever gets started. So finding a kind of a quiet place, a place where you're used to connecting to each other and talking about things that are going on between the two of you. And that's just, I think that's important if you've been married for 1 year or been married for 50 years or together that long, to have a space where you can talk about what's going on in the relationship.
I can't agree with you more on that because it is truly amazing the difference it makes in a conversation when you're not trying to correct your partner right in the middle of them doing what you're trying to correct them from doing.
Because right.
It always blows up. It is never a productive conversation. And I'm speaking from, from example, from Chase and I. If I, try to mention something to Chase when he's doing it, it's never a good reaction. And the same thing when he does with me. So it's like constantly remembering that and replaying that scenario so that it doesn't happen it will be a game changer.
Right. It really can be. Striking when the iron is cool is just so important in relationships. Because when it comes down to wanting to make sure you're someone's priority, when they're about to do something that you feel gives that wrong message, they're going to get defensive and then you're going to not like it because they'll go on the attack. Just because we do that, and some of the things we do in relationships are really natural reactions to, just the situation. And, that need to defend our actions, for some people, they're just super defensive. And if you know that about your partner, think about the times when, what makes it easy for them to hear constructive feedback? What makes it easy for them to hear your feelings? And to use that to your advantage, rather than assuming they've got to listen to me when I want to say it, being sure to get the mood right so that what you share won't come back in your face. Just always important to speak, the languages of love, speaking the language that your partner hears.
Why is it so hard to, quote, bite our tongue and not, because can you help us out there? Because definitely it's like, I know it's probably best if I don't say something to correct. I know in the moment, but it's so hard sometimes. How can we practice tabling that discussion for when the iron's cooler?
Yes, that's a great question, Chase, because every one of us have, we all have different flashpoints. Every one of us has something that really drives us crazy, and it's so hard for us because you know, most of it's just we love our partner and we're thinking we want this relationship to be really strong, and I know what has to change for things to get better, and it's my partner. We kind of have that notion a lot, and that's one thing when people come to counseling, they want to know how they can change their partner. And it's not all, you can't change your partner, you can change yourself. And really, I think, you know, the old expression, success breeds success. And I think being conscious, you know, first you've got to admit that you tend to, you know, I'll tend to fly off the handle, or I'll tend to say what I think right away. I've got to give myself a chance. I've got to remind myself that, okay, self-talk. I'm going to talk about this when my partner puts their phone down. I'm not going to say anything now. And then, you know, training myself, and it's really training ourselves to be better and more effective communicators. And I think that's, you know, just realizing that our first instinct is coming from protection, is coming from a sense of scarcity, that we're afraid we're not getting the attention we deserve. But when we come from that place, we're setting ourselves up for a fight, and we just, you know, it just takes practice, you know. And when you're able to kind of hold your tongue, and then bring it up after they put the phone down, or when you're kind of, you know, at a place where you're both, you know, feeling like, okay, now's the time to have some important discussions. If you're able to have that discussion, then that could be one of those successes. And, you know, kind of draw on that, okay, I was quiet. I was able to talk about it logically. I was able to talk about it without getting too upset. And I've got to remember that this is more effective. And it's really self-training. It's communication training. And we know that, you know, relationships, two key components are trust and communication. And being able to trust that you've already won your partner's heart, you've already, you know, they've already committed to you. And now I've got to be able to communicate, you know, as my needs change or a situation shift, you know, how I'm changing so that we can find a way to change together.
Another helpful exercise that I've heard and that I try to do when I'm in this situation is to ask myself whether or not what I'm about to say is going to hurt or help the relationship. And, you know, like Chase said, most of the times we know and we just can't bite our tongue. So if you ask yourself that and you come up with the answer that it's probably not going to be helpful for the relationship, you're probably right. And it's like not the best time, and try to focus on that situation or work on that situation at another time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we should all, you know, we do know, we know in our hearts, you know, is this a bad decision or a good decision when it comes to our relationships, because we know our partners well and we know ourselves well too. And I think anytime we have to ask ourselves, is this a good idea? It's not. Just in general in life, you know, if we're asking ourselves that, then our hunch is telling us just to hold on. And I think we all need to think about that and to give ourselves, trust our guts, because sometimes if we trust our gut, will come off a lot better than if we're just going, you know, from an immediate emotional reaction. And trying to communicate from when you're in an emotional, you know, when your emotions are raised, you're not going to be as strong a communicator as if you have calm.
Yeah, timing is such an important part of this and a part of communication. I think it's important to note, like, it's okay to feel annoyed at something your partner's doing or to feel jealousy. But the timing of that discussion, like you said, like Sarah saying, deciding if it's going to be good or bad for the relationship, that's good in the moment. But then if it's something that's bothering her, and we found this, I've kind of figured out more recently that I'll get irritable if Sarah brings something up, like as I'm going out the door. And it might not even be something that I should be irritated about, but because I feel rushed and like I'm running out the door to go do some work. And then it's like, oh, well, here's this thing that we need to discuss. It's like, I'm going to be short with her. I'm not going to like sit down. And that's something I want to work on, but that's also something that, and then I told Sarah, this happened the other day, after the fact, I said, I apologize. I was being kind of short, but maybe next time it's just not going to be a productive conversation if I'm being rushed out the door.
Yeah, when your energy is moving towards a certain point, trying to interrupt that flow, one, it's telling you what you're doing isn't valuable, because it's devaluing what your plans are, and it's kind of interrupting that flow, and you're not going to want to hear it. So, you know, making sure there's time in your relationship where you can have difficult discussions. There's not a relationship that's going to be smooth sailing forever. As much as you love someone, you're still two individual people with individual systems, individual needs, and you come at cross purposes at some point in the relationship. So making sure that you give time to be able to sit down, you know, calmly and discuss things that may be painful to discuss. It's just essential that you find a way to overcome your fear of having honest conversations and overcome your tendency to react too strongly if you're that kind of person when you have these difficult conversations. Relationships are work. No matter how you slice it, you have to learn how to kind of flex in response to your partner's needs or your partner's tendencies.
Absolutely. And so timing, so if you're feeling jealous, going back to jealousy, bringing it up and not when your partner's picking up the phone to call their friend or on social media messaging with someone, that's going to be huge. Now, and then communicating around that issue and talking about it and expressing your feelings. But is there ever a time when, so say you communicate the feelings and your partner's like, you know, maybe they get defensive or they're like, oh, it's no big deal. Is there ever a time when we need to be more secure in ourselves and in the relationship and in that to prevent that jealousy from popping up?
You know, absolutely. I mean, I think we have to remember if this person is in an exclusive relationship, and you've already got the relationship you were hoping to get. Remember that the more insecure you are, the more damage potentially to the relationship. Insecurity it is detrimental to relationships because once you lose trust and you stop feeling, you stop believing that you are the person your partner wants to spend their life with, once trust starts eroding, then that can lead to the end of a relationship really quickly. You've got to remember that relationships take work. One, they also require a lot of trust. And also, if you expect your partner to believe in you, you have to believe in yourself. Because if you feel that you're not worthy of that partner, then that your partner may begin to think, well, maybe, you know, this person is not worthy. Maybe there's a reason, you know, maybe they're right to feel like they're not enough for me. So being aware of how the message you're sending, and jealousy sometimes is kind of, you know, sometimes it's kind of fun. Oh yeah, you were jealous of the time I spent. You know, you when I flirt with this person, you're kind of jealous, and that can be kind of a turn on in a way. But if you're constantly jealous, if you're checking their phone, if you're going, you know, out of your way to breed a sense of doubting your partner, none of us like to be doubted. You know, a little bit of, you know, jealousy because you dance with someone else or something like that's one thing. But when you begin to doubt your partner and you're really feeling that they're being unfaithful emotionally, physically, whatever it might be, that's when you've got to tell yourself that you were the one they chose, and you've got to let those doubts go.
So in an article that you wrote on Psychology Today, that you talked about jealousy, at the end you mentioned polyamory and didn't get too much into that, but I just want to talk a little bit about that, as that is kind of a trending area of relationships that's getting more, screen
media
time,
attention,
right?
Media attention. Publicity.
And let's talk about that from the perspective, because to me, that's like the extreme of testing communication in a relationship, and certainly jealousy. Can you maybe talk about that in general, and then in related to jealousy here?
Sure. Yeah, polyamory. It's interesting how much more attention that gets. We used to talk. There used to be books, I guess, back in '60s, '70s, about the open relationship, but now the term is polyamory, and it's the idea that you can have you can love people equally or as passionately, and it's not the sense there has to be an exclusive two-partner dyadic relationship, this idea that you can have multiple people, you can love, have more than two or three different partners who you feel are really essential partners to you. But research shows that even in polyamory, usually everyone has to agree kind of where people kind of belong in that relationship. If there are three people, is it, you know, three that are equal, you know, opportunity, equal access, equal standing, or is there maybe a primary dyadic couple, or maybe there's a primary triad if there's four or more people involved in it. So even though there's this idea that you can love multiple people at one time, in polyamorous relationships, the each person involved kind of has to have an understanding of what the priorities are and how each one stands in relationship to the others. And you have to be, you know, and jealousy can still spring up. I said jealousy and fear of someone getting what is rightfully yours is one of those primary instinctual drives. And though logically we want to believe that, you know, everything, it's open, we don't care, we don't, you know, there are times when even people who consciously agree to an non-dyadic relationship can feel a sense of jealousy or that someone's getting more of their share than they should.
Certainly. And where do you fall, your professional opinion on this? And have you encountered that in your practice at all?
There have been a couple of individuals who were actively involved in what they considered polyamorous open relationships. And, you know, if when it comes to consenting adults, if that's the way they feel they can best function, if everyone is okay with the system, if no one is getting hurt, then I don't feel, you know, as a counselor, it's not my job to tell, you know, to put my values on any clients. That's not, you know, that's part of our ethical code. And it's when what my role as a counselor and, you know, helping professionals is to ensure that people are feeling satisfied in the relationships that they're forming and that they feel that their needs are being met. And we you know, when I counsel people, I counsel a client, and there's always going to be a primary client. And if there were a group of people, then it would be a family counseling type of, you know, if there are three or four adults engaged in a polyamorous relationship, if they consider themselves a family, then we'd be working to ensure that everyone felt that they were, you know, that things were working out to what they felt was their ideal. It's one of those situations where it's a changing idea. The fact that this isn't a new situation, but the idea that we now have a term, we now have research studies, we now have kind of this idea that we've legitimized the idea of polyamory when before we were kind of legitimizing open marriage. And so the idea is not new, just we're seeing it more frequently and more publicly than we had in the past. Like a lot of relationships, you know, things come and go with the times, depending on how open a society or a culture is to things that are different from what we consider the norm.
It's definitely an interesting discussion, and we'll have to have a full podcast on it to really dive in but I just think from a jealousy standpoint, that will certainly test you if you're in an open or polyamorous relationship. Everything needs to be out in the open, it seems like, for it to be successful, and then you really have to keep those jealous feelings in check. But even if you are in a monogamous relationship, there, those feelings are going to come up. And I think you've given us some great tools for communicating around it and talking about it. Before we wrap up, are there any things that you want to leave our listeners with to really consider when it comes to jealousy and their relationship?
Well, I think the important thing to remember is that if your partner has chosen you, then you've won the contest. That there's, you know, you don't have to let insecurity get in the way of enjoying that your partner. And if you worry that your partner is getting too close to others, then it's important that you speak up. Our primary relationship should be our primary priority, but making sure that you don't approach the topic when you're likely to stir up a fight is the best thing. You know, talking to people about difficult subjects is best done when you're both in agreement that it's time to talk about difficult subjects. but jealousy is kind of a human response, kind of an instinct. And to be aware that, you know, that it can get between a happy couple, and the more insecure you're feeling or the more insecurity you're investing in the relationship, the more distance that's putting between you and your partner.
Well, thank you so much for all this great information. I know we're going to be able to implement it into our relationship and our listeners.
Strike when the iron's cold.
Strike when the iron is cold. Exactly.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for giving me the chance to share with y'all.
And do you want to tell our listeners where they can find you online or your blog, and then we can say goodbye?
Sure. My blog is on www.psychologytoday.com's website. You can type in Degs White in the search bar and land on all my blogs that are housed there. Thank you very much for asking.
Great. Well, thank you. And we'll put all those links on your show notes page on our website at idopodcast.com. And again, thanks so much for coming back on the show, and have a great day.
Thank you, Sarah. Take care. Bye-bye.
We hope you guys enjoyed today's show. If you want to check out the show notes or the interview links from today's show, head on over to our website at idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab and you'll see this interview up at the top, followed by all of our other past interviews. And while you're on our website, check out our 14-day Happy Couple Challenge. We send you a daily email with doable challenges to help strengthen and make your relationship even better. And on our website, we also have a bunch of free resources in the form of downloadable guides and workbooks. So for example, some of the topics include how to cultivate respect in a relationship, how to heal from a bad breakup, step-by-step guides to help couples manage conflict, how to affair-proof your relationship. Those are just a few of the topics that we talk about in these free guides. So if any of those sound interesting to you, you can check those out on our website at idopodcast.com. We hope you guys enjoyed today's show.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.